Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for tonight's show are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. They'll be taking your calls and speaking on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That number again, 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Sunday. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio. I'm Robert Brining. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeremy Dunn. Jeremy, how are you doing today, man?
I'm just fine. It's Sunday, and I wish I had one more day.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful day here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was nice here.
God. And I'm sunburned. My face hurts. The back of my neck hurts. Yeah, it's a sad, sad story. I mean, I think I told you earlier, but I'll let everybody else know that I am not able to stand in a pair of sandals, apparently, on a curb because I fell out of my shoes and onto the ground. It was a... God... My whole left side is beaten up. My knee is bruised and hurts and swollen. My elbow has bruises all up and down it. The back of my head has a big lump. I'm dangerous.
Well, I'm glad you could make it to do the show today.
Are you kidding? I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to, you know, make it to the bathroom without walking into walls or something.
Well, tonight's guest is Scott Kramer, and he's going to join us, and he's a social worker in New York, and there's a little bit about him. Here I posted in the chat room, but if you're not listening and you're not in the chat room, I'll let you know. He currently works in New York at the City Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Center in the Youth Enrichment Services Program, working with young LGBTQ adolescents. And there, you know, he helps young people deal with substance abuse, dating, relationships, and things of that nature. And he's actually been a big help for me. He actually writes a little piece for the newsletter that I started sending out last month. He's going to add a little insert to it every month, which I appreciate. Just a little take on, you know, whatever he wants to write about, just something that's relatively something that everybody can relate to. So he's going to be joining us in a few minutes. So I'm kind of excited to have him on. I want to thank him first for filling in for Bob Bowers. I wanted to have Scott on at a later date, but Bob had to cancel tonight, so we hope he's feeling a little bit better. But I just wanted to thank Scott for filling in, and I do appreciate it.
You know what it is, Rob? I think Bob's afraid of me.
Yeah, you think?
I do. I think I scare Mr. Bowers.
That's funny.
I do. I think I scare him just a little. Do you hear the raspiness in my voice? Oh, these allergies are going to kill me. If it's not allergies or me falling off of curbs.
Go over some upcoming shows before he comes on.
Okay.
And make some announcements. This Wednesday coming up on the 8th, we're going to have Sherry Lewis, and I'm excited to have her on. She's the first female guest that I had on, so hopefully we'll get some female listeners that day. And then on the 12th, I see him in the chat room, Jeff, the founder of HIV Campground Project. He's going to come on, and he's going to talk about his project, and we're going to talk about what events he has come up, because some of them are coming up soon that you may be able to attend. And then I have a special announcement that I'm going to make about a guest coming up later at the end of the show. I'll let people hold on and wait.
What are you doing?
But I also wanted to announce...
Wait. Do I know about this person?
Yes, you know that special.
Oh, okay.
But I also wanted to announce that, you know, for first-time listeners, the Pause AM radio show is a part of the Pause AM community, which is, you know, a network similar to MySpace, Facebook for people, you know, infected and affected. So, you know, you don't have to be HIV positive or have AIDS to join. There's even a profile you can make for something if you want to learn about just, in, you know, certain things. You know, maybe you want to donate to certain projects and you want to come in and look and see what's available. you know, because there's all different people out there who have different profiles in there for you to check out. So it's a great space to meet different people doing great things. And, you know, we just reached, for me, it feels like a milestone, but we just reached over 500 members, which lets me know that, you know, we're doing something right. The radio show is helping bringing people to the website, and, you know, people are getting the word out there, and I just appreciate everybody for, you know, inviting their friends and having faith in it. You know, I was excited when I saw that yesterday when I logged on that we were over 500 members.
500 members and strong.
Yes. And look, we have our guest here. Hello, Scott Kramer. Welcome to the Pause I Am Radio Show.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jeremy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So you drank your own bathwater, did you?
Just the bubbles.
Just the bubbles. You know you're not supposed to do that, right?
I know. I was trying to clean my insides as much as my outsides, but it didn't seem to work out so well.
Just for a reminder before we start, Scott and Jeremy, I just want to let people know in the chat room that there's no soliciting and no cursing, and when you call in, please respect the same rule. Other than that, what'd you say?
Was I soliciting?
No, you were totally fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm just letting people know.
I didn't know if you were yelling at me already.
No, it's fine.
Because, you know, because sometimes I can get a little unruly.
No.
Okay.
But Scott, I want to thank you for filling in for us tonight.
Sure, and first I want to say I'm wishing Pirate, you know, all the very best health, and I hope he's feeling better, and hope he continues to be on the mend.
Yes,
I hope he is too, but I still think he's afraid of me. I think he's scared to come on with me on the show. Because every time he's supposed to be on, or something always happens, it's like fate. Either I'm not able to make it, or he doesn't show up. I think there's something worth investigating here.
Well, when the time is right, it'll happen.
That's right, damn it. But you know what? We have Scott tonight, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
Yay.
Hi, Scott. Yay, I'm glad you're here.
Me too.
And he had a bath, everybody, just so if you're not in the chat room, Scott said he was nervous about being on the show tonight, and so he took a bath.
I did. I took a bath with lavender oil, and I'm all slippery, slidey, but I'm a little bit more calm than I was earlier tonight.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So Scott, you work in New York.
I do. I work and I live in New York.
Isn't that fantastic? So tell us what you do for your job. I think what you do is an amazing thing, but I want everybody else to hear it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I work at the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Center in the Youth Enrichment Services Program, which is sort of an after-school program for young people from 13 years old to 21 years old. And we have a lot of socialization groups and psychoeducational groups and prevention programs and a summer camp and a youth pride chorus. And it's really amazing and wonderful.
Awesome.
Now, are all the people that you deal with, are they all either fall under that category, or are they kids of maybe that their parents are a lesbian or gay? Do you also get those kinds of, you know, people too?
Generally, I would say 99% of the young people identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, mm-hmm. and some of them are straight allies, which is always amazing and wonderful to see. And then every once in a while, we'll run into some young people who do have LGBT parents, and that's pretty neat too. Because you know, I don't know. I mean, I never thought when I started working there that I would see people with LGBT parents, but they definitely are out there.
Right.
I would think there's a ton. Because, you know, our show is all about the AIDS. What about positive gay youth? Do you guys see a lot of positive gay youth? A lot of those. Did you almost hear me say that? A lot of those. Kind of like going to the grocery store. Do you have any of those? It's awful, isn't it? God.
No, that's fine. There are some, but there aren't really as many as I thought that there would be either, unless they just are too scared to come out about that. And I make sure that all of our groups, if we're talking about coming out or being out and the safety surrounding that, I always mention that coming out isn't always about just sexual orientation or gender identity, but it's also about being HIV positive or negative or another identity that you might have that you might feel uncomfortable talking about. And so I feel like that's really important to say because we're a prevention program, but we want to make sure that the young people that are in the program who happen to be positive feel comfortable there as well.
Mm-hmm. So your prevention, and I just want to just go out there and say it's for STD, HIV prevention, right? And substance abuse?
Yeah, STD, okay. HIV, and substance abuse. That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have how is it that you intervene and get in between the decision of and we'll stick with substance abuse first because there's so much pressure out there, especially, you know, peer pressure. Someone will be out, you know, you'll be out at a party and there's going to be beer and maybe some weed and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get in between that and get kids not to succumb to that kind of pressure?
Well, it's interesting. It's all sort of lumped into the same thing because it's about decision making, right? So you can make that decision to protect yourself against HIV or not to take a drink or, you know, not to do the drugs that may be around or not to do as many of them as you had before, you know, talking about like a harm reduction model.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, basically it's interesting in terms of, you know, HIV and STD prevention. What used to be the way to do things is to say, okay, here's a condom and here's how to use it, you know, and make sure that everybody has condoms and lube and other things that they need to practice safer sex. While that's still really important to know how to use a condom correctly, it's also really important to talk about self-esteem and confidence issues. Because if a person is feeling really low about themselves or hearing that being gay is an abomination and things like that, then they may not feel like they're worth enough to use a condom, or maybe they're not worth enough to you know, stay sober. And so there's a lot of work around self-esteem and not only that, but hearing those messages from other young people is really important as well.
So do you use a lot of like education?
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of peer education programs and you know, some of them are leadership programs, but there's some other ones, like one that I co-facilitate that's called, it's the Sexual Health Leadership Team. And so we hire interns, and right now there's about, I think, eight or ten of them. And they meet once a week, and they plan, and it's for 3 months, and they plan events. And they can really be anything, but part of them has to be focused around safer sex. But for example, we had a Halloween event last year, and it was really more about having fun, having a good time, and remembering that good time and feeling good about themselves and connecting with other young people, but also remembering the idea of safer sex. And so we had safer sex tables set up, and we had people you could talk to, but we also had you know, someone at the crystal ball station and someone at the, you know what I mean, at the face painting station. So everyone had a good time, but they also learned about safer sex.
Rock on. And
yeah.
And what do you think is the biggest success factor?
I think the biggest success factor is just that the young people are making the connection with other young people And they're also learning that they're not the only ones that are LGBT. They're not the only ones that are struggling with trying to practice safer sex. And they're not the only ones that, you know, have the same sorts of struggles and problems that everyone else does. You know, I mean, we had them when we were young, and they're having them now, too. And I think that one of the really hard things is when they go to school and when they talk to their parents and other people like that, it's very hard for the teachers and the parents to connect with them where they're at. And they forget what it was like to be in school, and they forget how hard it is to make those decisions for yourself and to be able to, you know, say no to drugs when they're out there, or to be able to say, you know, I need to get a condom before I have sex or something like that. It's like they forget what it's like to be a young person.
And
Scott,
yeah,
what did you
true.
Say was the age group that you deal with again?
What's that?
The age group that you said you deal with again?
The AIDS group?
Yeah.
Oh, which one? Oh, you mean the sexual health leadership team?
No, the AIDS group of the people that you help, the kids.
How old are they?
Yeah, the age group.
Age group. I'm sorry. I thought you said something else.
Yeah, I thought he was saying AIDS group, too. I was like, oh,
yeah,
oh
I'm
AIDS
sorry.
Group.
And I was like, oh, well, that's something I want to start, but not yet.
Speaking of this.
Age range is 13 to 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how do these people who are like 13, 14, and 15 find you? Like, what does your place of work do to reach out to these young people to find them?
Well, you know what's really cool is that they basically hear about us in a couple of different ways. One way is by word of mouth. So they hear about us through their friends. They might hear about us through their guidance counselor at school or a teacher that we may have contact with in their school. They may find out about us through the internet, just if someone's looking up, you know, Gay New York or something like that. They might find us that way. And another way recently that they've found us, that they've been telling me about, is through the real world, because this season three of the housemates had internships at the center where I work, not in the youth program, but in the main center. And people have been watching it, so they log on to MTV, see the
right.
center, and then they look up the youth department, and they come in. It's pretty incredible.
That's amazing.
That
they
is
can
amazing.
Find you like that.
Yeah, it's. I think that was not intentional that there would be publicity for the youth department and recruitment sort of through the youth department for, like, from the real world, but it's actually happening, and it's happening, like, every week that it's been on, we get two or three, at least, young people that are coming in, and how'd you find out about the center, you know, how'd you find out about YES, and they say, through the real world, and it's like, really? That's so cool.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And then, you know, especially, it's kind of funny because just last week, the Pedro movie was on, and some of the young people...
Yeah, I wanted
to
touch on that with everyone, too, so
yeah,
I'm glad you brought it up.
Absolutely, and some of them saw it, some of them didn't. The people that saw it, they, you know, they weren't really thrilled with the movie itself, but they really, really liked the story. And some of them never heard of it, and they had no idea who Pedro was. I was talking about it on Friday during our young men's group, and... So I explained a little bit about it, and then I said, do you guys want me to show it? And they said, well, I don't, the people that had seen it already didn't want to see it again because they thought it was too sad. And I said, all right, but then the other people thought that it could be very interesting to watch. So I just have to figure out the best way to do that.
What was your opinion of the movie?
My opinion of the movie is I saw an advanced copy, and... I thought it was very much a made-for-TV movie, but it was really cool to see the behind-the-scenes factor and how everything came to be, and what an amazing support his sister was in the whole process. Right. And it made, you know, I mean, I just saw him on TV, and at the time, it was 1994, so I hadn't been diagnosed yet. It was another year before I would be diagnosed, but certainly because he was a gay out man on television and adorable, you know, I was like, wow, I have to watch this, and I felt a strong connection to him. So
I think we all did. Yeah, I mean, it's just,
yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and like one thing that bothered me is that, you know, they couldn't have done it any other way, but there was an actor playing him, and he was adorable and cute too, but it wasn't Pedro, and that was kind of sad to me.
Yeah.
What did you think, Jeremy?
I actually didn't watch it on purpose.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it because I remember watching it in person, in real time, and I just wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
To watch it, I because I have this memory of Pedro Zamora in my mind. I went to his memorial service in Hollywood.
Oh.
There were thousands of people there, so it wasn't like an intimate affair, but it was just, I didn't want to see the glossy Hollywood version of it. So it was, I just made the choice to, you know what, I know it's going to be a great movie. It's probably going to be, you know, have a really good theme throughout, but I didn't want to, cover up the memory I already had. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that definitely makes sense.
I felt like, though, the movie, I didn't feel like it was super high gloss. It sort of made me have even more respect for him, and I felt like he was an even stronger person after watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was some, obviously, poetic license taken with some things, but I felt like it portrayed him in a really, really super good light, and just the whole story was so sad, but I'm so glad that so many of us got to know him and feel that connection with him. And I think that really that's what he wanted. That was his whole legacy, and that's what he was hoping for and striving for throughout his whole life. So, you know, he really left us all with such an amazing gift, and I'm so happy and proud that I watched it in real time too.
Mm-hmm.
And now hopefully there's a whole new generation that can get to know him a little bit better.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, I'm tearing up now just thinking about it. I mean, it's just, okay.
Well, I've actually watched it three times.
Wow.
Oh, you
and
did? What do you think?
I watched it three times on purpose because I wanted to really see if I liked it or didn't like it. The first time I watched it, I liked it, but I didn't like the timeline that they played the movie out in. Because
mm-hmm.
first they showed you real-world stuff, and then they showed you, you know, his life, what happened afterwards, and then flashbacks of
mm-hmm.
his life. I would have preferred the beginning, this is what happened, and this is what happened at the end.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And it kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't like the whole fact that it was all about real-world in the beginning, because I wanted to know from the beginning, and it kind of threw me for a loop, because I had to put all the puzzle pieces in the right order when they
mm-hmm.
were doing flashbacks all the time. So it was a little bit unnerving for me for the first time, but then after I started watching it, like, so much respect for the guy, but I gained so much more respect for his partner.
Oh, his partner Sean?
Because there were so many things that I didn't know about his partner because you didn't see it. You know
right.
what I mean? Their whole story of how they met with the phone number on the napkin, and if you're ever in San Francisco, and then he's out there and doing real world. It was just really, like, a really genuine, true, nice story.
Yeah.
It was really touching, and I didn't really know that much about, you know, his partner, and it really showed him to be a wonderful person. And you
Absolutely.
Could see why Pedro would fall in love with him. It was really cool.
I almost wish that it would have been one of those movies that was, I don't know, sort of filmed like Milk or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and would have been released in all these theaters and stuff like that. But you know, I think I was very critical of it because, you know, it's based on a person that I feel like I have some sort of connection with and watched. But even still, I think that it was great that they did it. I wish they had done it sooner, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I just wanted to see more of him, you know, out there speaking and doing those sorts of things. You know what I mean? And it seems like it didn't really get to show you a lot of that. It showed you a lot more of, you know, the bad side of HIV, and it didn't show him, you know what I mean? For me, enough out there. Because I think he did enough out there. And then I had a newfound respect for that guy, Judd.
Oh, Judd is amazing. He wrote this book called Pedro and Me, and it's sort of a cartoon book because he is a cartoonist. And I was talking to a young person in the Yes Hobby the other day, and Yes is short, is the short name for where I work, which is Youth Enrichment Services. And we were talking about the Pedro movie, and he really liked it. And I said, hold on a second. And I got that book from our library at Yes, and I gave it to him, and I said, here, if this is a really easy read, but it'll give you a lot more information about him from a different perspective. And I read the book, and you know, in an afternoon, and I recommend that everyone go out and get that, because, like you said, Judd was really his friend and accepted him for all of who he was, his straight friend that accepted him as a gay man and an HIV positive man. And that's always something to be proud of, that we have those supports in the straight community. And so if you get a chance to get that book and take a look at it and read it, it's pretty powerful.
I can't wait to get it, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you just touched on something. It was 94, you mean it was in the 90s?
'94.
Before, in 1996 is when, you know, the combination therapies came out. Pedro did, he was so proud of himself, and he exhibited that in a time when HIV was still, it wasn't as understood as it is today. We'll put it on that side. On the other side is, he was also a gay man. And the media reflection of HIV wasn't not that it's all glamorous and lipstick today, but he really was ahead of his time. Does that make sense? Yeah. So he was ahead of his time. I mean, he was doing things then that we are just starting to consider to do today.
Like what?
Well, I can tell you, for example, getting out and really pushing the preventative and the education part, especially down here in the South. It's not okay to talk about AIDS still in the South, because there are still so many connections to sex and drugs and, you know, all the... And I'm. You should see me, because I'm doing my little finger quotes, the little finger quotes in the air, saying, you know, that it's dirty stuff. Even one of the AIDS service organizations that I work with, they get uncomfortable talking about sex. So it's tough, because we still haven't gotten to the point where we can even talk about it openly yet. But Pedro was right out there on the front line doing it.
He really was. And I feel like he fought through the stigma of so much stuff and was just like you said, right out there in the forefront. he really did it, you know, and other people now are doing it today, you know, like Sean Decker is doing it, and you guys are doing it, and I'm doing it, and, you know, all the people on the Pause I Am community that can do it are doing it just by having their profiles up. And I think that that makes us all stronger, and that makes us all connected, and it shows us that we're not alone, and we can really have this wonderful and amazing and supportive community. And, you know, I just recently publicly came out as being a person living with AIDS, and I'm just not going to shut up about it, you know, for me and you guys and whoever doesn't have a voice to say that. And if people don't want to listen, then I'm just going to say it again because, you know, tough. And it's like when people say, you know, when gay guys are shoving it down their throats in terms of, like, if even if they're holding hands or showing some public display of affection, I don't really care what people think about AIDS and HIV. People are still getting it. People are still dying. And people need to hear about it. So if I have to say penis, vagina, condom, dental dam, lube, you know, I don't care. I'm going to say it. And I'm going to say it loud. And I'm going to say it proud because people need to know about
say
it.
Say analingus.
Analingus. Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! You know, it's because I do the same thing, Scott. It's the same thing. It's like I cannot believe how squeamish people get.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about sex. That only happens behind a closed door. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. It's like, come on. You know, you have insertive, you have receptive, you have oral. Let's talk about it. We have anal, we have vaginal, we have it's true. It happens. It's a part of life. And
yeah.
And what happens when you, and I'm not going to say when you don't play safe. I don't want to pass judgment on people. You know, if you want to play however you want to play, that's we're adults, most of us, and we make our own decisions. But what we have to understand is that the decisions that we make affect those around us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't just let someone nobody can take power over us, and that's I think that's very important to understand. It's we can either surrender that power to someone else, but nobody can force us into anything, and it's our and it's our decisions that put us in situations.
Just real quick, I want to put it out there for the people listening and in the chat room. If you want to give us a call, make a comment, or ask us a question, you can give us a ring at 347-215-9442. Jeremy, can you put that up in the chat room for me real quick? And,
oh, yeah.
And you can also use the click-to-talk button up top if you have Skype. You can definitely call in and share a little bit about yourself. One of the things I wanted to touch on with you, Scott, was a little bit about your story, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more about, you know, how you came to be where you are today.
Okay, sure. I mean, basically, I was, let's see, I mean, I probably got HIV when I was in college. Didn't find out about it until years and years later, but... You know, and it's for all the reasons that I think I was talking about earlier that we're working in prevention with now with the young people, and that is low self-esteem and confidence issues and things like that. And so anyway, I was a graphic designer after I graduated from Boston University, and I did that for a while. I got that job in 1992, which really sounds like a long time ago right now. and in 1994, I started coughing, and I was coughing for a long time. And I remember I was living with my brother on the Upper East Side at the time, and he kept saying, stop coughing, stop coughing. And I was like, I'm trying. And then I decided for my birthday in February to go with my friend Pam to the Bahamas. We had a trip all planned. And so we went to the Bahamas, and I'd still been coughing and coughing and coughing. And I had had a chest x-ray before I left, and they did see some spots on my lungs. But I was like, whatever, I have tickets to the Bahamas, so I'm going to the Bahamas. And went down there. I was freezing cold the whole time. I didn't get tan. I was drinking hot tea in like 80-degree weather and still was shaking from being so cold. Got back, went to the doctor who was in the hospital. And I could hardly breathe. I was falling asleep at work, you know, before I had gone away on my trip. And they said, we have to admit you, took some tests. I had pneumonia, PCP pneumonia, which is an AIDS-defining illness. Went into the hospital, was there for 7 days, transfusions, all that kind of thing. At that point, I had 25 T cells, and I was not in very good shape. While I was in there, my dad came to visit me every day, and as I was in there and it got my blood transfusions and started breathing and getting oxygen into my system, my tan from the Bahamas started coming out. And so he said, you're the only person I've ever met who got a tan in the hospital. So that was pretty funny. Then I was on, that was before the cocktails, and I was taking the medication, and then I started having trouble walking, and it was from one of the medications that I got peripheral neuropathy in my legs and could hardly walk. I had no balance. I couldn't feel the floor. What it feels like is when your foot is asleep. It's not pins and needles. It's when it's totally asleep.
Oh.
So I would put my foot down and not know. I couldn't feel the floor and didn't know how to position my foot to walk. So
that's dangerous, Scott. My dad did that once and got up and went to walk and broke his foot.
Absolutely, yeah. You can't
it's
feel
dangerous.
Anything. Yeah. So luckily I lived in Manhattan, so I could sort of hug the walls as I was walking down the street and was able to order in, you know, sandwiches and things like that and cigarettes. I was still smoking even though I just gotten out of the hospital with pneumonia.
Yeah,
I wasn't too smart back then. So, finally I got better. 6 months later, I went back to work, and then everything was fine. And then I decided in 2004 that, missing a very important part. In 2000, I met my husband, and that was basically love at first sight, and we've been together since 2000. And he's been such a huge, amazing support in my life, and so when I decided to go back to school to do social work because I wanted to do something more important with my life and not just make money for the man, he was right behind me. I said, honey, I'm going back to school full time, so I'm not going to be working, and you have to support me on your teacher's salary. And he said, all right, you have to do what you have to do. Go for it. And so I did. And my second year internship was at the center in the YES program, and then they hired me the day before graduation, and here I am. And it's really been quite a journey, and I'm so happy to be working with young people. I didn't think that that's what I wanted to do. Originally, I went into it to help people with crystal meth addiction because it was such a huge thing when I was going back to school. And it still is a huge thing, although like HIV and AIDS, you don't hear quite as much about it now as you used to. But, yeah, the young people are amazing. Every single day they surprise me, and they make me laugh, and they make me cry, and I couldn't imagine working anywhere else and with a different group of people and for a different group of people.
Don't young people rock?
They totally rock, and they laugh at me.
Wait, hold on. Did you just hear what I just said?
I just
said, don't young people rock. Oh, my God.
That's funny. The thing is you learn so much from young people.
You really do, yeah.
And
yeah.
People take that for granted.
They are so funny. And, you know, they come into my office, and I'll be doing, like, an orientation, which is when a young person first comes into my office. And I ask them all sorts of demographic questions, where they're from, where they go to school. And then I ask them about sex. And they tell me straight up, yeah, I have this kind of sex. I have that kind of sex. I'm, you know, with my boyfriend. I'm with my girlfriend. I do this. I do that. You know, sometimes we use condoms, sometimes we don't. I think I need to take an HIV test, stuff like that. And they don't know me. They're just telling me this stuff. And it's pretty amazing and incredible that this type of organization exists for them. And I'm so lucky that I'm part of it and can deal with them every single day and try and help them and lead by example of being a person living with AIDS that can show them that it's okay if it happens to you.
You know, are most of the demographic that you serve, are they all mostly from Manhattan?
They're from all five boroughs.
All
five boroughs, and also Westchester and New Jersey and Connecticut. They come from all over.
They come from all over.
Yeah.
Because New York is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just, here in the South, it's a completely different world down here in the Southeast United States.
Right.
Because I know that we've got some folks from Africa and South Africa listening in. So it's a completely different world. We have many, many more rural communities that don't have the access to a center or to support, really. And I think that if we could just get more of New York into the rest of the country, you know, because, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles and in the Midwest and Chicago. In your larger city centers, of course, you have these services. But it's, I had a point about 5 minutes ago, but I wanted to. It's those kids are very lucky.
Yeah, they are, because I lived out in the suburbs and I wasn't able to have access to the city and stuff like that. Scott, is there like online, like a place where you would suggest for people who are listening who maybe aren't in the city, where they would be able to, like, do you reach out online too?
We don't reach out online, but I think that, you know, some places where people can go, I was thinking about this earlier today, and one is, of course, the FOSIAM community, and congratulations on the 500 members.
Oh, thanks.
Benchmark. That's awesome. Congratulations, Robert. I'm so happy that you're doing this for everybody, because you're one of these online resources that, you know, that people can come to and feel like they're not so alone. There's pictures of people. There's conversations. There are discussion rooms. It's a huge and amazing resource. And if people ask me where are some of the places where people can go, you're one of the top three places. You know, it's gmhc.org, that's Gay Men's Health Crisis. There's thebody.com, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's the body or body. And then there's PosIAM. There's Jeremy's website, Positively Speaking with a Z. And, and there's all sorts of links on those websites to go to where young people and not young people can go and really find amazing resources to use. I mean, I think that when I was diagnosed, I was, and so I am lucky.
I think Scott.
Uh-oh, did we lose him?
No, yeah, we lost him. Scott, give us a call
Scott,
back.
Scott, call back.
If anyone out there is listening, I think maybe he was on a cell phone, so he may have lost the signal. If anyone out there is listening or wants to call in and make a comment, you can join us at 347-215-9442. Scott, are you there?
Sorry, I'm on a cell phone in my kitchen.
That's okay.
I'm going through the tunnel.
So is there, like, what I was thinking, is there a website out there for these? See, but I guess it's kind of hard to make a website for young, you know, LGBTQ. I always say that wrong, so I apologize ahead of time. It's like a tongue twister for me. But and I'm a part of the community. I should really, you know, get it down pat. But, like, is there, like, a site for young people to go to where they can meet other young people? But I guess it's really hard to keep out, you know, people who don't belong there.
Right, right. I'm opening up my other browser now that links with my browser at work, where I have a whole bunch of resources, and I'll be able to tell you some youth-positive resources as soon as this opens. But, yeah, I'm not sure that some of these websites are going to be as amazing as You've Made Pause I Am with no profanity, you know, not a hookup site, and not particularly safe for all of the members. And that's such an important part of the Pause I Am community that I think enables people to really be who they are and to express themselves in the way they need to without fear of being preyed on, you know, by people who are just looking for something other than support.
Right.
So
that was the main reason I did it, you know. I wanted the support. I didn't have friends. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't want to go out and be a piece of meat, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's what I was getting when I would join other sites, even though, like, I would join a site and it would be, like, they have a mentor site, and it's a mentee site. Is that what it is? Where you can
mm-hmm.
join and become a mentor. Like, and the reason I didn't like that is because I don't think that you can't learn something from somebody else who's newly diagnosed just because you're a mentor. You know what I mean? I didn't like labeling people as these are people that are, you know, new to it. And I do with the groups, but I just didn't think that having it, you know what I mean? Because I feel like I can learn from young people, from people who are newly diagnosed too.
Right, absolutely. I found one of these websites. It's called advocatesforyouth.org, and that's a really good website where young people can find lots of information about the issues that are important to them. So that's a good one.
There you go, that works. I'm trying to see what else I have here for you.
And I did want to mention, of course, the AIDS Walk.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, your team.
Yeah, which I've been doing this for 15 years, and it has been incredible. AIDS Walk New York is just this huge walk. There's like 40,000 people that do it every year, and I started doing it in 1995, the year that I was diagnosed. And it's, you know, the third week in May, and I was already starting to have trouble with my legs at that time. So it was very difficult for me to walk that year. But I walked with my mom, my dad, my aunt, my brother, and it was amazing. And so I still do it now, and I started a team in 2000 dedicated to my wonderful angel, Pat Benatar, the singer. And I just love her voice, and she's a really cool chick. And so, and she has a song called Invincible. And if you listen to it, the words really match the AIDS epidemic, I think. And so I call it Invincible, the Pat Benatar team. And I've raised over $40,000 since 2000. And every year I raise a little bit more. And if you want more information about it, you can friend me on Pause I Am or go to AIDSWalk.net go to the New York site and look me up, Scott Kramer with a K. And
Scott, if you have a link, you can put it in the chat room.
Oh yeah, I will do that. I don't know if I could do things at the same time, but I'll try. But it's amazing, you know. And the cool thing is that she knows about it, and she's always willing to have me come backstage whenever she comes around and say hello. And she says, "Oh, how's the walk going? How much did you raise this year?" And I've been keeping a close eye on your page, and so she's so cool. You know, she's totally on board with it.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it's really cool. And so I do that, and I'm happy to carry around any picture of anybody. You know, if anyone has a friend that they've lost, or someone that they're thinking about, or just a name, I'm happy to write it down and carry it with me, because I think that's part of our community as well, is just having everybody come with me. If you can't be there in person, be there in spirit. So.
And that's May 1st, right?
It's May 17th.
May 17th.
Yeah, ours, AIDS Walk Charlotte's May 2nd.
Oh, okay.
I won't
You're
be
so
there.
Early.
I know, I won't be able to make it because I'm going to a relative's first communion. Damn Catholic.
Ours is in October.
October? It's cold in October.
It is cold in October.
But it's nice out. The leaves are all on the ground, and I don't know. I'm just not used to having AIDS walks in, like, May. So it kind of threw me for a loop when I was told that last week that it was in May.
The AIDS Walk itself is May 2nd, and then for the Regional HIV/AIDS Consortium, which is an ASO that I work with, we are doing a 5K run in October. So you'll be hearing more about that coming up.
You're not going to run in those sandals, are you, Jeremy?
I'm not running anywhere. Are you kidding? I will be there to hand out water for the runners. I mean, these guys are, you know, they run. I don't run unless someone is chasing me. So, yeah, forget it. But I'll be there handing out waters and going to try to speak and all that stuff. Matter of fact, I'm meeting next week because I'm on the fundraising committee. So I will be at hitting people up for money.
Excellent.
Well, Scott,
no. That's awesome.
Real quick before we're down to about 5 minutes, Scott, and one of the things I wanted to talk about with you is you mentioned it earlier is you helped these kids build. You said one of the main things is confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there's people who may be listening to this now or will be listening to it later in the archives that may have issues with their confidence. What is something that you can suggest for them to do to help build their confidence up?
Well, I think confidence, you know, sometimes it just takes time to feel comfortable with who you are and what you're all about. It took me like 14 years to be publicly out about my status. Other people, it takes a lot less time, you know, like you and Jeremy. And I feel like give yourself that time. I also feel like once you say I'm positive or I have AIDS or I am concerned about a friend who has it or I'm gay or lesbian or something, the more you say it, the easier it is. And you can do that on the website, you know, it's just do it. Just keep doing it and don't stop. And see what the reaction is on the website. And you can even, on the PosIM website, and you can even role play that sort of thing, you know, and see what the reaction is going to be.
And you know what's really nice about websites and what a lot of people I think sometimes forget about is that the internet can be, you can be completely anonymous.
Yeah.
On the internet. Create a persona, an alter ego, if you will. Just don't do anything harmful with it.
Right.
And come out.
Absolutely. I feel like it's so important, and it's way easier to do it that way than any other way, to tell you the truth, but I don't know.
Yeah, like start talking to people, you know, if you join Pod as I Am, without your picture up, you don't have to use your real name,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can even use like a Yahoo email that you don't really use all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to put yourself out there. And then over time, once you start talking to people, you know what I mean, you're going to eventually break the wall down and you're going to think about posting a picture up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just breaks the wall down, is just being able to go out there and first take that step.
You know,
right.
and Scott, you said it 2 minutes ago. It's about being able to admit it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to admit it to ourselves before we can admit it to anyone else. And there's a train going by, so I'm going to mute you guys.
to admit it to yourself and to actually say it out loud is huge. And you can try it in the mirror, you know, and if that's too hard, then try it, you know, to the TV. Watch Ellen one day and just say it to her. Say it to the TV. And see what happens. You know what I mean? See how you feel about it and see how you feel about yourself. And keep saying it. And that was a really huge decision and a conscious decision on my part to put my name up on the Pod I Am website and put my picture up there. It's part of my unwillingness to shut up about who I am and what we are and what we're all about. And I think that part is really important. So if you don't have the voice to say it, anyone who's out there listening, I will say it for you. I will be your voice. You tell me what you want me to say, and I will say it. And I won't stop.
Jeremy, are you there?
I'm back. Okay. I had to mute because the train whistle went by. My apartment, there's a set of train tracks that are right behind us, so, and there's an intersection, so when it goes by, it has to blow the horn, and it can be annoying sometimes.
Well, we're winding down to the last 2 minutes. I want to thank you, Scott, for coming on and sharing your story with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure. It's a pleasure to talk to both you and Jeremy and everyone else who's listening, and it's a real pleasure to be on and part of the Pod I Am community.
We're glad to have you.
Yes, we are.
Thanks.
I'm just thrilled.
And you can learn more about Scott's Aid Walk right there on in the chat room. There's a link there. You can put that back up again so people can find it. And, Scott, you have a great night.
Thanks. You too, you guys. Take care.
Have a wonderful evening, everybody. And, Scott, have a great week coming up.
And I just want to remind people, there was the announcement of the show that I didn't mention yet. And on April 15th, which is a Wednesday at 2 p.m., we're going to have Angina, who was a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race that was featured on Logo and VH1. So I'm kind of excited to have her on. She kind of came out of the closet and exposed her status without her family ever knowing, so I'm interested to find out how it felt to come like to become an overnight activist, because now she's out, you know, doing all these wonderful things, and I'm kind of excited to have her on.
I think that is just going to be wonderful. I'm sorry, I was trying to talk to people in the chat room, and
so that's fine. So remember, you can learn more about Jeremy at positivelyspeaking.com. That's positively with a Z. And you can check out our website at posiam.com and create a profile there and connect to some of the people that you see in the chat room. It is for people that are infected and affected, so you don't have to actually be HIV positive to join the site. Thank you all for tuning in, and I will see you all on Wednesday, or at least hopefully talk to you all on Wednesday when we have Sherry Lewis. She will join us Wednesday at 2 p.m. here. So, Jeremy, you have a great night.
You too. And I just want to remind people that this Sherry Lewis is not the same as Lamb Chop. So just remember that.
That's right. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye.